Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibilities, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do and judge them on those terms, rather than by what they cannot do. And this is our series on online education. We kind of labeled it online learning. Is it connected or disconnected? And this is one of the series of interviews that we have. And we're talking to educators. We're talking to teachers. I guess teachers are educators, but as well as even some students. And we're trying to get a wide range of information on this. And so today we're interviewing with Catherine Coleman, and she's the Director of Student Services at Vashon School District. And what's your dog's name, just so I can introduce the dog properly?
Well, there's Andy and Vegan.
Andy and Vegan.
Andy and Vegan. Yes, okay. And you might hear them in the background. I'm trying to keep them quiet.
Well, you know what? This is Voice of Vashon, so when we interview people on the island, we actually have a requirement that they have at least one animal in the background.
I can meet that requirement, no problem.
Yes, okay. Well, that's, yeah. I may get fired if I have animals in the background, but then I'm not getting paid anything anyhow. So we're in good shape. Well, Catherine, it's good to talk to you. I know we've talked several times on the phone and talked a little bit about this issue. And I think the one thing is that I've really kind of been surprised about. I think when I went into this, I was almost thinking I was going to hear nothing but doom and gloom from everybody. And that's really not been the case. I've certainly had glitches and issues and those kinds of things. But, many positives. I mean, one of the positives was the, parents realizing how hard school teachers work when all of a sudden the classroom is in your home. So why don't you just tell me a little bit about, first of all, let's kind of do some logistics and how long you've been with the district and what does the Director of Student Services do?
Sure. This is my fifth year with Vashon School District. As the Director of Student Services, I'm primarily in charge of the special education program, although I also supervise the school nurses, and I work with Title IX and lots of other kind of little programs that the district is involved in with both the state and the federal level. But my primary responsibility really is making sure that our services to kids with disabilities run as smoothly as it can.
Sure. It kind of reminds me, I think the old Marx Brothers movie, they go into the hotel and they say, says, I'd like to speak to the police chief. And Marx puts on a police chief hat and then he says, I'd like to speak to, and it's so... It sounds like you wear a number of hats there at the school district,
but I do.
But primary responsibilities to kids with disabilities, and this is I think one of the we're also going to talk we can also talk a little bit about maybe kids that are non-English speaking too, but my background is in special education and. I think that one of the difficulties is that it is a specialized group. They do require different kinds of services. We look at least restrictive environment, all those issues, and with an online education system, that poses some problems and some challenges. That's for sure. I'm sure that this whole pandemic thing, came up. You just as it came up to us and just immediately kind of slapped us in the face and districts were forced to say, what are we going to do? So what did the district kind of do when you first got this this information that schools were going to close and we're going to go online and that kind of thing?
Right. I think that the pandemic has certainly impacted all of our students very significantly. And it did take us a little bit, a of time to kind of switch gears and think a little differently about how we were going to meet students' needs. I will say that, the legal responsibilities that we have for kids with disabilities didn't end when schools closed.
Right.
And we continue to have responsibility for making sure that our students have access to their education. And so our special education team never slowed down, not from day one. They really kept moving forward and looking at the best ways to meet the needs of kids. And you know, for some students...
I was just going to say, that's one of the things that I really have consistently heard from teachers and from principals that I've interviewed, is that staff really, you know, grabbed their boots and put them on and didn't do a lot of grumbling and got right to work on the issue. And so go ahead from there, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And just like, when we're face-to-face with kids, we really look at our kids as individuals and we make individual decisions about what it is that they need. And that's been true in the virtual environment as well. And for some students, this has been such a positive change. They are accessing their education more comfortably than they ever have. Because that technological face-to-face just fits their learning style really well. And for some students, it's been really exceedingly difficult because accessing their education through technology doesn't fit their style at all.
Uh-huh.
And so we've really worked with both extremes. One of the things that we've done is really... in order to meet kids kind of in the middle, is as soon as the governor let us, we started bringing kids into the schoolhouse, but into the schoolhouse so that they could access their virtual education.
Okay.
So by bringing them in, they still logged on. They are still logging on, but they're doing it from within the schoolhouse where we have people available to really teach them very directly how to do that step by step. And
that's interesting too, because, you mentioned for some students it works really well. One of my friends who lives on the island, his grandson goes to school in the Seattle School District. And he's kind of one of those kids who's, has some special needs, but, maybe qualifies for 504 and not necessarily IEP.
Right.
But he says he really thinks his grandson is doing better with this kind of an education because he seems to feel less pressure and can work a little more at his own rate and is not kind of, even though teachers don't necessarily compare all the students in class, kids compare themselves. I mean, even when I was in school, when we had three reading groups, I knew who the bluebirds were and who the redbirds were and who the crows were, there wasn't much fooling around about that. So I think that's really good and some kids are more, technological and can seem to pick it up a lot easier. Do you find that, first of all, how many kids are in special ed programs or let's say on IEPs in the district?
Yeah, we serve about 180 to 185 students, in the district with IEPs and then, an additional, about, 75 or so of kids who have just 504 plans.
Okay. And that sounds, I think that's probably pretty average for districts.
It really is.
As I recall, stats, probably the majority of kids have some kind of a learning disability or, something.
Right.
Generally your largest category. And then, maybe some that's behavior and emotional kinds of issues and those issues. How about those kids that need some of those specialized kinds of services? Let's say like a kid with emotional behavioral disability. Mm-hmm. How is the district working with those kids? I know that because I would think that would be a specific, you know, goal and objective on their IEP, I'm sure. So
absolutely. And you know, one of the biggest challenges is that for many of our students with communication disorders or who have behavioral challenges, their goals are all about working with other people.
Right. I never thought about that, but that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in this environment where working with other people looks very different, we've really had to switch gears and address those goals differently. And a lot of that has been about helping kids being able to negotiate the virtual environment, because we actually can pull them together into groups and we can continue to teach social skills in a really formalized kind of way. But first we had to teach them how to get into the virtual room.
Yes.
And use the technology. The other challenge about that is that it's pretty easy for a kid to escape if they're uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
They just have to push the button.
Yeah, that's
it,
right.
It all goes away.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. And I think, you know, when I think of different students that I've worked with, some of the kids that have been on the autism spectrum, a lot of issues there may be dealing with other people's space. And, you know, how do we make those socialization connections appropriate? And what do we say that's appropriate? And no touching and those kinds of things. And so, you really feel like the teachers are really getting the system and being able to use it effectively?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think that we are finding it in many cases that it is easier for the kids to figure it out than sometimes it is for the adults. We don't switch gears quite so easily in our heads.
Right.
And so, but we've also, I think, found that that many of the strategies that we use in person with kids, we actually can use in a virtual setting. And I think that came as a little bit of a surprise, maybe, that because, you know, in the end, good instruction is good instruction. And in the end, kids will work when you reinforce them for the behavior that you want to see. And we can do that virtually, too. We just have to come at it a little differently.
And I know that some of the folks that I've worked with, and parents that I've talked to, have said that, for instance, working with a child that is working with a speech therapist, that, mm-hmm. you know, watching the child work with the speech therapist, it then becomes easier to transfer that into
right.
daily kind of home issues. And that in itself is more reinforcing if you could do that during the day rather than just do it during the time that the kid's in school. So I think that
and isn't that just an added extra bonus that I'm not sure that we were really thinking about as we launched into this, that we really do have a chance to provide some coaching to parents in a way we've never been able to do before.
Yeah, and I think even the parents just watching, that's a positive. And also, I've worked a lot in Eastern Washington with smaller rural school districts. And even, I don't know the schedule of the speech therapist, but, a good deal of your day is spent driving from point A to point B. Whereas if
right.
you're online, more of that time can be directed to specifically
right.
to instruction. So
right.
Is the district also still providing lunches and breakfasts and some of those kinds of things
yep.
for kids?
Yep, absolutely. The food service team really ramped things up from day one and have been providing lunches and breakfasts really across the island and for families at an increased rate than we were previously. And the district has set up a distribution system so that families can come to the high school and just swing by and pick up meals, or there's also meals that are delivered. The bus loads up and delivers meals to various spots on the island that people can come.
That's really great. And I actually heard a statistic this morning that was talking about that, you know, that the kids that receive some breakfast before school do 17% better on tests.
Huh.
And you know, we've always said that, you know, that good nutrition is important there. So,
right.
How about extracurricular activities and things after school? Are there things that are virtual that kids can participate in? Or
I don't know, to be honest with you. The principals are really directing those things, and I'm not sure what they've been able to pull together virtually. We certainly have virtual play groups that are going on for for our preschool students. Even our 3- and 4-year-olds are doing virtual education. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say, I think that's maybe that's the next step down the line. I mean, it's you know, when anybody tells me that they're an expert on anything, I don't care whether it's putting, you know, tile in my house or
right.
I'm an expert on all disabilities or I'm an expert on autism. Generally, they're telling me more what they don't know than what they do know. And I mean, I think this is just another area that I suppose really will, you know, maybe open up and hopefully by, let's see, let's bow our heads together for next year. No, I'm just kidding. But I think you know exactly what I'm saying is that we really hope that kids are, you know, back in the system by next
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I don't think any of us are ready to think about being back virtually next year. I think we're still trying to get through doing it this year. We miss our kids, you know. We miss the interaction.
You know, I think that's really true. I you know, when I was teaching, I always, you know, I had a good time during the summer and we had breaks and stuff too, but I really enjoyed coming back and seeing the kids. I did see a cartoon in a magazine the other day, and this was kind of talking about this, and he said that in the one panel it's saying to the parents, this guy comes to the door and he says, you know, with this online education, you know, we can we have a system that we can set up for you so you can have your kids home every day even after the pandemic is over, and you can educate them. And the next panel is the door closing. So I think that while we all love our children, it's nice to have that third party educating them. How about something like counseling? You know, just your regular meetings with parents. Those are done online too. And
all of that is done online. All of our meetings have been conducted online, so it's been a learning curve for parents as well to figure out how to dial in and join in with us. And all of our counselors in all three buildings are working really hard to connect with those students and looking to make sure that we're figuring out what the what the red flags are. Around kids who are really emotionally having a really difficult time.
Yeah.
And so we have staff members who do home visits even just to go knock on the door and invite the kid and the family to be out in the lawn, you know, being able to make some kind of connections while remaining socially distant.
And I think that You know, I do think that's an issue, too, because I remember, you know, God, I really sound like an old person. I remember back when I was a teacher, you know, we brought a hearse right up to the school building. And
But
you know, having kids in class and you notice, you get those little visual cues or body language cues from some students that where you would go up to them and take them aside and say, you know, is there something we need to talk about or is there a concern?
Right.
And I think that, you know, many times that might be one of the difficult things, but I think if your counselors are connected in that manner.
And
I know that in Tacoma, I was working with Mason Middle School in Tacoma, and they, you know, their counseling groups tend to at least get out to, you know, the majority of the homes that they're working with at least once during the, you know, during the semester and, you know, to take a little special note. And, you know, that inclusion part is really, really important. Now, when we talk about least restrictive environment, are there groups where the kids with disabilities working in groups with kids without disabilities?
Oh yeah. I mean, the majority of our students spend the majority of their day just working alongside their non-disabled peers. Now, it's really one of the nice things about having a small district is that our numbers of students who have more significant disabilities are really quite small. And so all of our students are well integrated with their non-disabled peers throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it just looks very different in a small district than it does in a larger district.
And I know, it is. You know, I grew up in Ellensburg, which was probably a school district about the same size as maybe a little bit bigger than Vashon, but you know, many of the problems were called or were solved by the principal, Mr. Brown, calling my father Walt Nurse and saying, we need to talk about Steve. And you know, I think that with Vashon, there are some important issues that it is a positive environment out here. My kids went through all the schools out here, and it's good to say that neither one of them is in jail, and you know, so they've done a pretty good job with the district here. Let me ask you this: do you think that this pandemic has made you a better administrator or a more knowledgeable, better administrator? Does that question make any sense to you?
Sure. I think that from an administrator's point of view, what this has really done is kind of broadened the way that we are communicating with everybody in our community, both with each other as administrators, as well as with the classroom and with parents. And in some ways it has increased communication, interestingly enough, because it's really easy to sit down and log into a Zoom meeting, you know, or a Google Meet. And so our ability to connect more frequently and more easily is there. There's what I miss more than anything is the ability to walk into somebody's classroom,
yes,
or knock on somebody's door, and have those impromptu conversations, or not so impromptu, but
yes, yeah,
yeah.
It is that. We are pretty social beings, and I think that that's really, really important.
Well, and sometimes the best way we problem solve is in those short, small conversations that, that allow us to address the issue very directly and then move on.
And I think one of the things you mentioned is that we've learned to, that there are more ways of providing an effective education other than lining kids in four rows of five kids and, doing all group instruction. I think that's probably one of the biggest advantages. And also, do you think that even next year when we have all our kids back, that we will still use some of the skills and some of the technological skills that we've learned this year?
Well, I hope so. I hope that there's no going back, because the flexibility that we've gained around being able to have kids kind of connect to the learning where they are and have the tools really at their fingertips has been really amazing. And I don't want us to step away from that. I want kids to continue to be able to dictate their work to the computer or go onto any website and have it read out loud to them, or easily meet together with another student who is not necessarily sitting right next to them, but arranging for groups who are physically spaced farther apart, but we can still group kids together.
And I also think that we are just looking at things differently. We've really pretty much had blinders on in how we've communicated with kids. I think, I haven't seen that many. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I've seen lots of changes in education. How about testing for next year? Do you think we're just going to, all the state tests? I mean, we've spent how many thousands of hours?
Right. I think our legislature is addressing that almost as we speak. And I don't know where it's going to end. We've got, there's a lots of influence from the federal on down to help us figure that out.
They're even talking about maybe, a lot of people really would prefer not to have things like the SAT and some of those issues, I think that it's just getting to be a point where we're even looking at those kinds of issues, and hopefully we'll change those kinds of things. Well, now here's your last question before we close for this session. Catherine Coleman, you may wave your magic wand, and what would you wish most for next year?
Well, my biggest wish for next year is that we are back with our kids in the building. As much as we have learned in this remote environment, one thing we've learned is that we are creatures. We are communal creatures, as you were saying, and all of us need to be back together in the schools. But along with that is, as you said, that we bring with us some of the new strategies and techniques that we've learned, and allow ourselves to be more flexible with our learners.
And I think the one thing that I've seen is that I am really impressed with teachers as a whole and the students, that they're all pretty resilient in this process.
Oh, yeah.
And number two, I hope that when the kids start back to school next year, that we don't expect them to hit the ground running. We give them a little time to kind of get into it. And so with that, I think we're going to close her up for this session. And Catherine, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
It's been really fun talking to you. I really enjoyed it. And we'll let you know when it's being aired.
All right. Thanks, Steve. It's been nice talking to you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. And Bye-bye. Beshan, thank you very much. And we will see you at the next session.